old serpent, the old dragon, El Diablo, the devil.
It's heaven coming on its chest.
Hollywood. Hollywood doing their Satanism right in your face.
Hey, you! You can't come and die. Where's your listening to sounds? Feel for sex. It's heaven coming on its chest.
Did you hear Tucker Carlson agree with me? Since Israel says so, they may stage a new 9/11. That's kind of a big deal. By the way, I'm going to give different cuts of that interview headlines during the next break. We'll be posting it at X and on Rumble, but you don't need to wait for me, ladies and gentlemen. This show belongs to you, free to air, non-exclusive, licensed to the world. Anything I say, do, the shows, everything. That was my one contract thing with the new owners is this is free to air, and the world can use it however they want. They said, absolutely, that's our goal as well. And that's always what I did at InfoWars. That old archive belongs to the public, belongs to the world. That's yours as well. Because they want to shut up what we've said in the past because it's not evergreen. Evergreen just means it stays pertinent. Like The Godfather, Part 1, never gets old. Apocalypse Now, never gets old. Even stuff like Ben-Hur, never gets old. You know, those are evergreen movies. Tale of Two Cities, evergreen. Christmas Story, evergreen. This broadcast isn't evergreen. It's ultra green is a term I came up with, meaning it gets better over time. And I thought that's not a good term to coin. You know, people picked it up. It's infinity green. Oh, my God. Pew is very respected. So's Gallup. Pew had Trump at 30 points in confidence in him on the economy and the war. It's now at 23% confidence. Look at Drudge. Print that for me, folks. This is what Mark Mitchell was saying a year ago when they got rid of Musk and all that. He went from 56 in the polls where they oversampled Democrats, with probably 60-something, 62 or so, down to the mid-40s, and then the war and all the rest of the crap and statements like, I don't care about Americans, any of their financial problems, and I don't care about Medicare and Medicaid. I'm like, red alert, red alert, red alert. And all the white pillars, shut up, boys, Q, 90 trillion, quadrillion chess, Hillary's at Guantanamo Bay with the Easter Bunny. And now Trump's trying to pull out 4 months out from the midterms. How many months are we? June's almost over, so July, August, September, October, November, 5 months. 5 months. A five, a one, a two, a three, a four, a five. Guys, do the calculations for me. Gals. We got a gal in there. How many days until the November election? All right, I got a ton of news and a special documentary and more coming up today. I'm Alex Jones, your host. It's 132 days, 10 hours, 55 minutes. 19 seconds to count down to the midterms. Yeah, that's our new countdown. Stay with us, Paul Revere's, and remember, share those live feeds now. Let me announce the kickoff of the summer sale. This is going to run for 2 weeks, and different items for only 3 days will be buy one, get one free. Right now, it's Ultra Methylene Blue, the very best methylene blue. You've heard about methylene blue. Ours is medical grade. Buy one, get one free. Another big deal on Tri-Iodine, the best, cleanest iodine. Take action now. The start of summer sale kickoff is now live. And look at this. Nice black hat. High quality. With a nice leather patch, made in the USA, just classy. And that's from Dickie. Really proud of that. And look at this bad boy. I designed this bad boy, or the concept. 1776, Redneck Deluxe. I mean, that is good stuff with the two-crossed musket rifles. That is a good-looking, good old boy right there. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. Get it all now at thealexjonesstore.com and stick your finger right in New World Order's all CNI and say, screw you, globalists. We're keeping Alex Jones on the air.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder, another world, another time, his land was green and good, until the crystal cracked.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
The numbers under Biden, they blocked all crime statistics out of cities, over 800 cities and towns, and then said crime actually went down 0.2%. It actually exploded. Our own reporter got killed last year by gangbangers. And every day, without even looking, that's a key term, I literally see hundreds of videos of black people shooting, stabbing, raping, killing white people. It's the same thing in Europe. And it's not the majority of black people, but it's a certain subsect of young men. And I noticed some white guys shooting people too, and we got some of that. We'll show you that. But I almost don't even want to get to this because I don't want to play 100 of these clips. I mean, it's like if I don't cover it, then I'm not. It's like if I cover only a little bit of it, I'm almost covering it up. It's so horrible. They had 70 something people shot in Chicago last week. More than a dozen died. And whether you're in Los Angeles or whether you are in Chicago, or even Houston, I got videos where gangbangers come to people's doors, Hispanic ones. I mean, it's Hispanics and whites doing it too. And they're like, hey, what gang are you in? Oh, we just live here. We're not in a gang. Okay. And they just spray the house with bullets. So Tucker brought this point up about the crime wave and the rest of it. And then Cash Patel wants to act like they're doing a great job, and they have increased a lot of the human trafficking busting. They have been busting a lot of drug dealers and gangbangers. I'm not taking the credit away that they've ramped up. I mean, they've like tripled arrest of criminals and gangbangers. But it's already so out of control in the cities with the blue city mayors and the prosecutors that are Soros and the Soros judges. I mean, I got an article here, a video, where the guy had been arrested 70-plus times. That number keeps coming up. 70-plus shot last week. 70-plus times in Chicago. I mean, robberies, beating people, everything. And then, oh, good, he went out and just killed somebody. Big surprise. How do you get arrested 70 times for crimes and your ass isn't in prison? Because they're black. There are white criminals running around out there, but the difference is they get their asses thrown in jail for a long time. So they're not out doing it. And they admit with these Soros judges, they literally say, oh, well, you're black or Hispanic, we're letting you go. That's why in Austin they've had, in just the last 6 years since Jose Garza, the horrible Soros-finance-elected DA, who's an admitted communist, a tripling of runaways. The majority of people that shoot up a building or shoot people or rob a bank, and then now when they're being chased by the cops, they run and shoot at the cops, and then they let them out. Holy smokes, it's been confirmed that a man in Chicago who set a woman on fire had 72 arrests, not the initially thought 49. Oh, it's 49. It's okay. Judge, I can't put everyone behind bars just because the state attorney asked me to. I mean, and by the way, you know these black criminals, which are the highest offending level. There's whites doing it and Hispanics. It goes blacks, Hispanics, whites. But then you see the news. Whites are committing record crimes. Oh, whites are hunting down Asians. It doesn't really even exist. It's black on Asian. And then much of the black community knows this and is being fed on by it and is totally upset and supportive of people pointing this out. But you've got also these leftist blacks and Black Lives Matter blacks that literally talk about how they're victims. Well, yeah, victims of your own criminals and victims of these DAs. You know, 9 out of 10 black people that get killed by a black person. Remember, there's 60+% whites, 13% black, only half that's men. So you got 6.5% are men. And of that, 14 to about 25 commit most of the crime in the black community, and they commit over half the violent crime in the country. About 3% of the population. And I don't bring that up to be mean to black people. The vast majority of black people aren't doing that. And the other difference is white criminals get thrown behind bars so they can't do it. I was looking at numbers out of different states. Like in California, a white murderer usually serves 25 years in prison. A black murderer, 5 years. And then you see these talk shows, black people, oh, we're discriminated against in court. They throw the book at us. Maybe in some time in history that was the case. It sure as hell ain't now. I see it all the time where some crazy black guy who's like 18 years old shoots a bunch of black people and he's out the next day with no bond. And I can show you 100 videos I saw today, just yesterday today. Of just black people randomly walking up and beating white people. It's like, what the hell is this? And I'll tell you, if I was walking down the street or I pull up at a gas station, I'm gassing my car, if 10 white dudes came over, which is super rare, but I guess it happens sometimes, and started pummeling me and I'm outnumbered, I'm going to pull my gun out and start shooting people. Because that's better to be tried by 9 than carried by 6. And if it's 10 black people or 5, I'm going to blast your ass. So don't bring your fist to a gunfight. Now, one guy starts a fight or two, you know, even though I'm 50-something, I can still stand up for myself. There's no weapons come out. You're going to throw fists. You're going to get your ass beat. Now, I'm not going to look for it. I'm smart enough. People want to fight, I'm going to try to get in my car and lock the door. I'm not looking for trouble. But if you're looking for it, you came to the right place. But notice you don't have in southern areas or right-wing areas the same crime statistics as the thugs know. If they go up and just start messing with some good old boy who works for the telephone company in his truck trying to go get a hamburger, you're going to get holes in you. You're going to get killed. Maybe I shouldn't even play these clips. I mean, what's the point? I just, everybody knows about it already. But here's the thing. I don't talk about this to be mean to black people. I talk about this so we can pay attention to it and stop the brainwashing of young black men to believe this is normal and good. And also, because I'm tired of hearing white men commit the majority of criminal activity. It's not true. It's not true. Oh, I saw like 10 new videos. These are compilations of just white women being beat up by black men, young black men. It's like, you know, pregnant women, women in baby carriages, black women beating up women. I mean, it's like because the media says white people have done all these bad things. White people are out to get you. I saw a video. It turns out this woman does this all the time. Middle-aged black lady, and she's at a grocery store line. This was just out today. And there's these, you know, middle-aged, you know, overweight, goofy, you know, nice look, you know, old white people. And they're just sitting there. And she calls the police on them and says, they tried to go past me. And then the witnesses go, no. After she checked out, she backed her cart into them because they moved forward. And the woman just gets her stuff and goes another register. And it's just like, what is this? Like, you can tell these people are like blue collar. You think an old fat guy, an old fat woman, and we're like live in some palace and get money off black people? I mean, by the way, here's another statistic, because they don't teach this, you know, in the media and the culture and all these movies where it's constantly showing white people abusing black people in these dramas and shows that creates that illusion. You know, the top 9 richest per capita, meaning largest number of people. I mean, the richest people in the world are Jews on average. Half the billionaires in the world are Jewish. I'm not saying it's bad to be wealthy. I'm just saying that's a fact. But if you take out rich billionaire Jews, the top 9 richest groups are all Asian. Then it's Arabs. Then it's white people. Then it's Hispanics. And then it's black people. But I know plenty of black people that have businesses and success and are living in much nicer houses than I am. And I don't think it's weird. Like, how those black people get a big house and nice cars? They work hard. I mean, I don't sit there if I want some really good Southern cooking. We call it that down here. Up north, they call it soul food. They think only black people eat chicken fried steak and collard greens and sweet potatoes. I'm getting hungry. And stuff like that. But it's called Southern cooking down here. And if I'm over in the areas of Austin and have the black Southern cooking, I go in there and they're great, nice black people, and they make money and I get great food because they make some of the best Southern cooking. Now, if you got to do a poor man's, because I was working late last night and I was out taking care of an errand after I didn't get home till like 11. There was a Cracker Barrel, and Cracker Barrel's okay. The food's okay. It's quick service. But I went in the Cracker Barrel at like 9 o'clock at night. And you know who I was in there with? Mexicans, black people, and white people. We were all getting along. And but see, Northerners, it just shows how retarded it is. Nothing against Northerners. They think it's like weird to eat black-eyed peas. They think it's weird to eat collard greens. They think it's weird to eat cabbage. They think it's weird to eat chicken fried steak. They think it's weird to eat fried chicken. Remember Bill Clinton famously in Georgia like 10 years ago served fried chicken to the homeless, and it was, oh my God, it's racist, some were black. Newsflash to Northerners. Newsflash to yuppies that live in high towers. Everybody eats fried chicken down here. Fried chicken's good. It's delicious. Getting hungry. But it just shows how rich. We're fighting over fried chicken and watermelon. Newsflash. Everybody eats watermelon down here because it's good. So we're taught there's all these differences. At the end of the day, there's not. We got the same jobs, the same stuff. The difference is there's a bunch of black people that have been taught to have chips on their shoulders. And the black people that learn not to have that, they go at the top. Hard working, smart, boom. Whatever the business is, you go all over the place. And the managers, the folks that are in charge are black people. But it's not DEI. It's not at some college. Because I also went by Cabela's last night, some ammo. And there was a really nice manager, black guy from Louisiana. He knew all about the guns, all about the ammo. We got to talking about stuff. And the white guys working for him didn't feel bad because the guy knew everything. It was really helpful. And he was running around as the whole manager of the guns and ammo department, helping all these people. And you could see, oh, that they were all very helpful. Great service. That guy's the manager because he's really competent, well-spoken, and knows all the stuff. I'm like, I don't want to buy any ammo or, you know, guns or anything from this black man. I want a white person over here. You know, no, I thought, well, you know, this guy's really nice. The guy knows what he's talking about. And he was trying to sell me guns and stuff. Hey, don't you want some of this? I'm like, no, I'm getting some of these accessories over here. But the point is we're just people, folks. But whites can't live in this guilt. We have to address the guilt and say, I'm not guilty. I'm not your slave. I'm not going to do what you say. When the globalist programmers try to manipulate us, bowing down teaches some of the younger, dumber black people and others that when we bow down, Black Lives Matter, that it's this magic power. And now their whole world is about using the magic power like Jussie Smollett did, making stuff up, or Bubba Wallace. Oh, look, It's a noose by the garage. No, it's a little tie to pull the son of a bitch down. All right, I'm ranting. It doesn't even matter, does it? Let's play a few of these. Here's Fox. It's been confirmed that the man in Chicago who set a woman on fire had 72 arrests. I don't give a damn whether this guy's black, purple, green, polka-dotted, or rainbow-colored. Once you've hit about, 10, 15 arrests, bunch of them carjacking and robbery, I mean, I think two or three of those you ought to be in jail for 20 years, right? How the hell do you get 72 arrests, dozens of them for violent stuff? I mean, that's crazy. You ever hear about a white guy with 72 arrests? No. Because by the fourth or fifth bad one, your ass is gone. And the left knows exactly what they're doing. They're destroying society. They're telling certain groups, you got to get out of jail free card. Here's a clip.
Prosecutors say he lit a woman on fire aboard a train. Meanwhile, there are growing questions about why he was back out on the streets despite a rap sheet reportedly going back to the early 90s. Mike Tobin is live in the Windy City with more. Hi, Mike.
And Dana, Lawrence Reed will be once again before the judge today, this time to determine if he will be held behind bars before he goes to trial. And that really is the backbone of this case. On Monday, he was out walking the streets despite a pending case for allegedly knocking a woman out, able to ride the L train where a woman was set on fire. Now, we have a statement from her family through Cook County Health. It's a pretty simple statement. They say, we'd like to thank everyone for their prayers and well wishes as our daughter receives care for her injuries sustained earlier this week. We're also grateful for the excellent care and support of the burn team at Stroger Hospital. It goes on to the family to say the family will not be providing any more updates. Now, the criminal complaint against Reed says he went to a gas station, filled a plastic bottle with gasoline. The images get brutal here, so brace yourself. 20 minutes later, he was on the Blue Line train, dumped the gasoline on the woman's head. She ran, but he chased her down with the flaming remnants of the bottle and set her on fire. Mayor Brandon Johnson's message is that violence on public transit is not widespread.
Look, my responsibility is to build the safest, most affordable big city in America. The investments that we are making are certainly moving us in that direction. This is an isolated incident. I mean, I don't see this as some sort of trend.
We've tracked down more than four dozen of arrests of Lawrence Reed since 1993. Nine of them were for felonies, yet he has served just over 2 years behind bars. Most recently, he was charged with aggravated assault for knocking out a social worker. The state's attorney requested pretrial detention, but Judge Teresa Molina Gonzalez denied him the request and put him on electronic monitoring. The website CWB Chicago reports that at that detention hearing, Judge Molina Gonzalez said, I can't put everyone behind bars or keep everyone in jail just because the state's attorney has asked me to. So we'll find out later today if a federal judge will indeed keep him behind bars. Dana, back
Mike
to you.
Tobin, let's.
This was supposed to be a joyous time. Neighbors say many people had gathered to celebrate Juneteenth when things took a violent turn.
Surveillance video capturing what appears to be a barrage of gunfire. Shortly after, you see people running for cover. Chicago police were called to 95th and Princeton after a mass shooting around 11 Friday night in the city's Princeton Park neighborhood. At least 13 people were injured.
244 West 95th Street. I need crowd control.
Chicago police say a red SUV pulled up to a large crowd. Investigators say two suspects began shooting from inside the car before taking off.
There's approximately 25 shell casings, both rifle and pistol rounds, from 243 West 95th all the way to the end of the block on Princeton.
The victims' ages range from 17 to 47 years old and were taken to different hospitals. A 26-year-old man was last listed in critical condition. The majority of the victims are expected to recover from their injuries.
All of a sudden, you hear this loud bop, 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 bop. I can hear the rapid fire of gunfire. And I said, oh no, can't be. And next thing I know, you hear the sirens.
Michael Blount was home at the time of the shooting. He says he's disappointed it happened at a time when people were looking to celebrate the holiday.
It was a shame that it happened on Juneteenth. That's what it's supposed to be about, celebration, not what just happened. You know, that was just purely wrong.
A motive for the shooting is unclear. Police have not made any arrest. Alderman Anthony Beal, who represents the 9th Ward, saying in part, in a matter of seconds, an ordinary summer night was shattered by gunfire. No one should have to wonder if they or someone they love will make it home safely.
30-plus shot in Chicago in 2 days, 70-plus in 1 week. Bunch of people dead. And the media will just focus in on one of the shootings. And the mayor says, 40 people shot, 8 killed in Chicago over this Father's Day weekend. I'm sorry, now it's up to 40, sorry. And the mayor, see, it's usually worse than I said. They were saying 34, 32, now it's 40, sorry. It's 12 dead in a week, 70-plus shot. I guess that number's up to higher now. Because if 32 went to 40, then I guess, who knows how many? It was 70-something a day ago. And you know it was almost all black people shooting black people, right? But you can't seem to get most of these liberal black people or white people upset about that. I'm upset about it. I don't want anybody to get shot. I don't want some white dude with 70 arrests running around. In fact, you ought to be executed by that point. My God. Here's, I guess this is L.A. This happens all over the country. Oakland, you name it. Texas. Hey, what gang are you in? I'm not in a gang, man. I just want to live my life. Shoot the house up. Portly shot one of the people. Here's a clip of that. All right, my daughter Charlotte. Rex has his own show and it's popular. He's doing well, but he fills in some. He doesn't work here. But Charlotte Jones, my oldest daughter, 22, she does work here in production, does a great job. I told you I was at Cabela's last night. I bought her one of these. They made switchblades legal now. It's a little, you know, high-tech design of one. So I bought her a switchblade. I bought her stilettos, too, since they made them legal and other things she carries in her purse. But I was trying to explain to her, and I'm not trained in knife fighting. I don't say this is a professional way to do it, but I've studied history, and I've taken knives away from people a few times in Dallas, and I've also seen what works. And so if you're going to go get trained on how to use a knife for self-defense, I'm not telling you this is a self-defense thing. She wants to air it. She thinks it's cute. This I did not plan to air this. Of course, it's shot in the wrong aspect ratio. You lose half your pixels doing this, folks, but everybody loves it. So I guess we'll play this. I did not know if this is going to air, but we'll come back and play that. Because in my experience, you know, these military or jujitsu type or police trainer, or Krav Maga trainers have this thing where the guy lunges with a knife and you do this move and grab the arm and, you know, and how you deflect the knife and all this other stuff. When in my experience and watching different training things and just seeing how people operate, with a knife, if somebody's coming at you, the key is having the right grip on the knife. And generally, you'd want to have a bigger one, too. I like a double-edged dagger. But if you're going to go with a little switchblade, the key is it's got to be razor sharp. And the key is a tight grip and speed slashing. So when they try to get in, you just slash at them. It's so fast, you're going to cut off fingers. You're going to slice people open. And you can do this with like a wooden dowel if you want to just buy one at the hardware store and go out in the woods like with tall grasses and stuff and just watch with that. You can even come up to like pretty good size twigs on and just green ones, cut off trees with it. It's the same thing with a knife. Everything is speed. There are billions of ways for people to be culturally, spiritually, politically, environmentally engaged. And there are millions and millions of different programs and podcasts and radio shows and things around the world out of the 10 million people on this planet. But on the record, what we've done at InfoWars, and this is just the second leg of that at alexjoneslive.com, has changed the world. Our guests, our callers, our researchers, our reporters, and my overall futuristic analysis and view of the destiny of humanity, which I don't claim to be 100% accurate, but it's definitely proven to be a good template to observe the world, has had a giant effect, and the globalists do not like it. So when you share that local AM and FM station that you listen to and tell those you share it with to share it, it changes the world. when you say this is forbidden information at alexjoneslive.com that has the free audio and video feeds and archives and shows and articles, you are literally going in the face of the censors and the tyrants. You're changing the world. It seems simple. It seems little, but it's not, because we have millions of listeners and viewers. And if we can leverage that out to millions more and have them leverage it out, that creates the chain reaction. And all the great guests and hosts we've had on over the years who were already great, successful, they'll tell you how much more their shows blew up once they were on air here with this operation. We are here to get the next generation, black, white, old, young, to awaken to the epic time that we're all alive in right now and take action. So your word of mouth is key, your prayer for the broadcast is key, and supporting us financially is so key. And we make it symbiotic, where everything you get at thealexjonesstore.com will empower you, will enrich you, and will be an adventure. The Patriot Apparel, some of the best designs ever, limited edition for the 250th anniversary of the United States of America, are out right now. Right now, ladies and gentlemen. And this latest design, these limited edition, America, red, white, and blue on, you know, Sterling Royal Blue, 76, America 76, 250 years. That is a really cool shirt. I think it's going to be a bestseller. It just came out today. And all the other 250th anniversary limited edition shirts are available right now as well at thealexjonesstore.com. So be sure and check those out. And I thank you for your support. But wearing these out in public, meeting like-minded people, spreading the word, it's an adventure in and of itself, and it funds this operation, which is exposing the next pandemic, the next attempted lockdowns, the next big globalist war. You are financing your own future for a better future and better destiny when you keep this broadcast on the air. But you can also experience the info war on the ground wearing these great shirts. Also, we have the new dual carbon platinum gravity-fed filter, the highest quality gravity-fed carbon filters that are the highest rated, cutting out all of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of horrible forever chemicals that are out there. And it has the highest quality stainless steel. Nobody has got a filter with better filtration. It's the highest rated, and nobody has as beautiful a filter as this. And ours is way under the price of competitors that are crap. This is the best. It's a home run by Bigley, our sponsor. We're so proud of it. Here's the issue. 1,000 of these came in. It sold out in 3 days. They got a couple thousand more coming in like late next week. Those are pre-order right now. They're going to be sold out soon. And then I'm going to stop promoting it until they get even more in, because I don't like doing pre-order. But if you want to be at the head of the line to get these while you still can, and not have to wait a month or so after that, get your order in now, right now, at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're on the site, check out all the other great Patriot apparel, the super high quality military grade belts, all the great supplements and more at thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Take your breath, okay? Remember, the key is, don't think yourself as that strong. All right, let's stop this for a minute, because I want to preface this again. Start it over in a minute. I don't claim to be some weapons expert. I don't claim to be a fighting expert. I'm not out there trained in any of this. When it comes to guns, I can sit there with a Staccato 9mm at 100 yards and pump 17 rounds into a 4-inch metal target. I can shoot in a 5-inch pattern with a 300 Win Mag at 1,000 yards. I'm not good at windage and Coriolis, but if it's, I know what I'm doing. So, I mean, I just personally have my own systems and my own things I do. But I have sat there and watched military training in different cultures and different things, and I've seen actual footage of people coming at folks with guns or with knives or with their bare hands. And my advice to my daughters and anybody else is carry a firearm legally and lawfully and know how to use it, which my daughter does and knows how to use. Okay, pack it a 9mm with 17 rounds. That'll take care of whatever you need. But I have given her, when they legalized it like 5-6 years ago, a stiletto that law enforcement uses, double-edged dagger stiletto, you know, the handle's about that long, and it's double-edged. That's what you go with. This smaller one I gave her is just a little backup that's a switchblade, and it's instant access. And, again, the key is deploy it, and then get, you know, the strongest grip you can of it, you know, the blade out this way, or just, you know, if you're actually going after somebody, it's this way. But that's if you're trying to just kill somebody, that's not offensive. In my experience, you watch all these military trainers and stuff, they go into, like, the person lunges at you this way with a knife, or the person jumps and tries to get your weapon away from you, and this is what you do, and these are these moves. And unless you train in that and have the moves and know all the different moves they might make, and most of these people aren't even trained that are coming at you, so it'll be unorthodox. In my experience, we go back to sword fighting, and I've done a little bit of fencing, or any of that, is that you don't want the person getting in close to you. And so the best thing to do is run. But if you're cornered, then the answer is, and someone's coming at you, then you simply slash. And the key to a knife is, if you're not stabbing someone, and that's about explosive force, getting it in over and over again, is that if you simply reach out, because if you're going fast, they're not going to be able to get in close and get your arm or push it out of the way. If you're simply slashing, when the people are trying to reach at you, believe me, it's not even like a gun. You can shoot some people and they just kind of ignored it first. Not with knives, folks. You go fast with a sharp knife like this, you're going to cut people's fingers off. You're going to slice through their arms. They're not going to be happy campers. And then you don't sit around and wait. That person gets through, is trying to get on you. You're extending out here trying to do all this. No. If they get through, you're right here, in. And because I just instinctively, and I'm sure people can give me their training, their ideas. This is my stuff's all instinctive and watching things. So this is impromptu. She's like, I know how to use the guns, Daddy. Let's go shooting again this weekend. She's been shooting since she was five. But I don't really know about the knives. You know, we never did that. So this was like a little quick thing this morning when I came back from the gym. She had dropped by the house, and I was in a hurry to get out. So this is not very professional. I'm not advising anybody, but here's the footage.
Your grip, okay? Remember, the key is don't think of yourself as not strong. All you're doing is this. A person's coming at you. You don't play around. Once they get in the zone, you start slashing. Understand? Now, if the person gets in through that, even if you cut them up, then you just start stabbing into the stomach. That's the soft part. No, I'm serious.
I know, Daddy.
So you're talking, just stab, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right?
Yes, sir.
Then they'll probably push back. If they come at you again, all right, they got their hands
yes,
up.
Sir.
You just attack. You don't worry about the field of attack, okay?
Yes, sir.
Then again, they come back in again. What do?
Stab.
Thrust into the abdomen.
Yes, sir.
All right?
Yes, sir.
All right. And then, if they're still coming at you and they're up under you, you go ahead and start stabbing in the neck.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
And you don't hesitate.
No, never.
Because the key is speed. The grip is what matters. So this is about your hand.
Yes, sir.
And it's good, this is not a joke, to have the intention, say, die, or kill. I'm serious.
Yes, sir.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, so there you go. That's my lay thing, but I'm sure you should go out and get trained by whoever. They're just going to show you all these moves, and they do this, you do that, and all that stuff goes out the window, and the real thing does. The big thing is just release your adrenaline and kill. Somebody's attacking you, chop the living hell out of them. And let me tell you something. There ain't hardly anybody, no matter how fast they are. You start slashing, and they're going to start bleeding. It's that simple. The key is speed with the blade slashing. Okay? That's the key. All right. I'm sure people are going to have fun with that clip. Because I can't wait to hear all their advice on that. I'll listen to it. I don't claim to, you know, nothing around here. But I've taken knives away from people, I've taken guns away from people, and I've stomped people's brains out. So it's not like I'm just talking about this stuff, telling you stuff. I just got it out of my instincts. So that's how that works. That's what my brain tells me to do. But moving on from that, I want to play this clip of Richard Nixon on Israel, and I want to then dovetail it with this documentary. It's only 14 minutes long, titled The Eight-Front War by Harrison Smith, who's coming in about, well, exactly 20 minutes from now for the War Room today, 3 to 6 p.m. Remember, you're the Paul Revere's. Please share the link, alexjoneslive.com, where you'll see on the network feed, find Harrison Smith. Always has the latest information, great guest, commentary, and more. So look for that. But Nixon got called anti-Semitic for pointing out there was a Jewish lobby that that would try to get him to do what they wanted. He wasn't against them. He just pointed out it's a lobby and you don't get to run the country. If it aligns with our interests, we'll help you. And of course, now that's all out in the open. So now that it's out in the open and people don't want a war, Israel's very, very unpopular. And that's the reality here. But just remember, we can't do this without your support, your word of mouth, your prayer. All the products are great. They really work because I want them to work the very best. So you want to get them again. Huge sale. Buy one, get one free. Ultramethylene Blue right now at thealexjonesstore.com. The water filters are coming back in. It's pre-sale. They're going to sell out before they even get back in next week. If you want to get this best filters out there at the lowest price, beautiful stainless steel, you name it, get it now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. T3 iodine at 50% off. And so much more of the start of the kickoff of the summer super sale. All the limited edition Patriot apparel. A bunch of it's limited edition for July 4th, 250th anniversary. And only until Wednesday at midnight is the T3 50% off and buy one, get one free ultramethylene blue. You're like, well, it's a two-week sale. Every 3 days, there's a new buy one, get one free and another 50% off sale. So the T3 is incredible. The ultramethylene blue is incredible. This is your chance to get it. Here is Richard Nixon on the Israel lobby and then the Eight-Front War by Harrison Smith. You'll want to watch this.
It isn't a question whether I felt it. The fact is that American Jews support Israel, and I understood that. And the fact is that every Jewish prime minister that I have known has enlisted American Jews to bring as much pressure as possible in the political process on American presidents. That's understandable. I don't object to it. Now, a president must not go along with it on occasion because some... Let me explain something about what is called the Jewish lobby in this country. In the first place, Jews, understandably, in the United States, because of what happened in World War II, because of the Holocaust, are going to put first priority on the survival of Israel. Now, as good Americans as they are, they believe that America's survival and security is directly related to Israel's. In other words, their belief is that being for Israel first means that that does not mean you're putting America second, because they think it goes together. An American president, however, has to approach it in a different way, in my opinion. He's got always to think first of what is best for America, and that's true whether it has to do with the Israelis or whether it has to do with the Irish or the Germans or what have you, or the Poles, etc. Usually, what is best for America is also best for Israel and vice versa. But on occasions, for example, an American president must make a decision that does not, in effect, give the Israelis a blank check. And one example of that is a decision that I made. I decided early on in our administration that we were going to seek good relations with Egypt and others of Israel's neighbors. Many of my Israeli friends didn't like that because they wanted a special relationship with Israel and Israel only. But I have always said that Israel's interests are better served to have the United States a friend of Israel's neighbors and potential enemies than to leave a vacuum which the Soviet Union would fill. I still believe that, and I think that should be American policy today.
I think there's another revolution coming. I tend to steer it along with the achievement of a broader peace. When history is within reach.
So what Israel is fighting here is not merely a seven-front war, but an eight-front war.
For the Jews against Rome.
Rome and Jerusalem clashed over values with a great tragedy for the Jewish people.
Well, we lost that one. We have to win the next one.
But the new Rome, the United States.
Jews against Rome.
We stopped playing defense and have moved to offense.
The weapons change over time. You can't fight today with swords. That doesn't work very well.
But we need the kind of genius that manufactured Apollo gold pagers and infiltrated Hezbollah for over a decade to prepare for this battle.
But we have to fight with the weapons that apply to the battlefields in which we're engaged. And the most important ones are the social media.
Because the next war will be decided based on how Israel and its allies perform online as much as offline.
This is the Eighth Front, the disinformation campaign.
It is actually this Eighth Front where our enemies believe they can actually defeat the Jewish state.
This is the kind of ingenuity and inventiveness that have always been a hallmark of the State of Israel, that have always been a characteristic of the Jewish people. I know we can do it.
A lot of this is done with money.
Invested billions and billions of dollars in the information battlefield.
Money of NGOs, vast. Money of governments, vaster.
We prohibit harmful stereotypes about Jewish people, such as claims that Jews control financial, political, or media institutions.
You're damn right we're going to cancel them and deplatform them.
We monitor them online, social media, messaging apps, video games, cryptocurrency.
Hitler admirers, Stalin admirers, Jew haters.
Podcasts, short form video, Wikipedia, LLM.
American haters, Churchill haters.
We monitor these people and we share the intelligence with the FBI.
You think your stupid little podcast is going to change the world like hell it is?
Social media, this is the new battlefield.
You don't get to wrap your psychotic, mental, unhinged Nazi.
We do not allow Holocaust denial and distortion.
And the most important purchase that is going on right now is
TikTok.
TikTok. TikTok, number one.
For every 30 minutes that someone watches TikTok, they become 17% more anti-Semitic.
So you have TikTok just smashing our young people's brains all day long with video of carnage in Gaza.
We really have a TikTok problem.
Because anything that we try to say to them, they are hearing it through this wall of carnage, and I sound obscene.
Anti-Zionism is just Jew hatred.
We made a change.
We updated our policies
to designate the use of the term Zionist.
To recognize that the term Zionist
as a proxy for a protected attribute
can be used as a proxy for Jews and Israelis
as hate speech.
Why can't Israel be doing some sort of, you know, counterintelligence?
Right now, the ADL is co-writing Sunday school curriculum.
Information warfare like this.
It's building the technology to train the LLMs more effectively.
Like a psychological operations in America.
As part of a robust framework to combat anti-Semitism, we have industry-leading policies designed with the safety of the Jewish community in mind.
You're right. We control the media. So what are you going to do about it? You're going to bitch on Twitter? Like, okay. Meanwhile, we're going to control more of the media.
And working with OpenAI, with Alphabet, with Anthropic, with Meta, with Microsoft, we are working with them now to train the LLMs.
We also have, I think, over two dozen Jewish organizations that are constantly feeding us intelligence and information.
So number one, we measure and track. Number two, we monitor and disrupt. We have a whole apparatus. I have 40 analysts working full time, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, monitoring extremists.
Monitoring campuses, digital networks, activist groups, and public officials.
We have several PhDs on staff. We have a network of academics and scholars we work with around the country.
I've talked to the leaders of AI in the world, and you ask yourself, there's so many blessings in this, but there could be a curse.
First thing a country needs to do is to unify all of their data so it can be consumed and used by the AI model.
We need to invest in intelligence to understand who are the anti-Semites, who's funding them, what's their plans, who are the leaders, and then once we have that, we can define who is an enemy we can attack.
You have to take all of your healthcare data, your diagnostic data, your genomic data. We have to take all of this data we have in our country and move it into a single, if you will, unified data platform.
Once we have all this information, we need to empower and mobilize an ecosystem of many organizations that we can incentivize them to work together, to share, and to fight against our common enemies.
Mobilizing millions of people, of allies, that are quietly by our side.
Citizens will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on.
You know, anti-Semites, most of these people running around, we're not going to win their hearts and minds because they don't have hearts and they don't have minds. So, you know, how are we going to, there's no reason to think we're ever going to convince them, but we can deport them, we can put them in jail, we can make their lives miserable, we can cut off their funding.
You've got all these conspiracy theorists online going on and on and on about how, you know, if you try and say anything, if you try and do anything against Jews, they're going to come after you.
We have featured more than 1,000 anti-Semites anti-Semites.
And they're going to destroy you and take away your business, and therefore you have to be really, really scared.
These Jew haters have faced real consequences, including firings, suspensions, and expulsions.
And it's kind of starting to come true.
We will shine a light on you that will follow you for the rest of your life. When you look for a job, when you look for a spouse, when you look for a nanny, when you look for anything.
And I love that. I love it.
We remove hate speech against Zionists when these harmful stereotypes about Jews are invoked.
In the past 12 months, ADL's filed more lawsuits than in the prior 112 years.
Over the weekend, I received concerning news that I was being sued for $5 million.
Vicious, communist, racist, Jew-hating, Israel-bashing monster.
Defendant frequently posts anti-Israel rhetoric accusing Israel of controlling the United States and its politicians.
We at the ZOA will fight these dangerous and monstrous lies with all of our hearts and souls. No appeasement, no conciliation, only a war against this racist hatred of the Jewish people.
When there is a war, it doesn't matter who your enemy is, you need to destroy their offspring to prevent them from creating more offspring.
What you're trying to do is you want to corral your victim, but in fact, your countries are the victim. So you dehumanize a group of people in human society, and you prepare them for the kill, for the butchery.
A government can do in 2 months more than any organization can do in its lifetime.
The J7 is comprised of the seven largest diaspora communities. We meet every other week via Zoom to share information, to share best practices.
And we're running everything all the time, from focus groups to attitudinal surveys to like randomized controlled trials to identify what interventions work most effectively.
Finally, we have meetings that are some off the record, some on the record, with world leaders, in which we share our community's concerns and call for action.
The entire education system in this country, from K through 12 in colleges, must be reformed.
But it's time to limit the First Amendment in order to protect it.
The way we solve anti-Semitism is pretty goddamn simple.
Take control over what they are saying.
Send their ass to jail. It's not complicated.
And quickly, before it's too late.
We're monitoring political Islamists and Christian nationalists, all of them. And then we train. We're the largest trainer of law enforcement in America, extremism and hate. We train 20,000 officers every year.
Try that again.
We deeply value our partnership with law enforcement. We've been working with them literally since the FBI was founded in the 1930s.
Is that your account?
That guy who consistently calls for the death of all Palestinians. That can probably incite somebody to do something radical. That's what we're here to talk about. I would think to refrain from posting things like that.
We are going to have a whole division within the office of the Special Envoy to Combat Anti-Semitism that is going to work on technology.
We must take all of our technological expertise and all of our available resources to develop methods to launch and win a significant counter-information campaign.
The products of our technical capacities and sometimes technical and intelligence genius, and we're happy to do it.
The office is going to be revamped entirely to be one of the highest profile offices in the State Department.
Because it's not working. Too many young people have never heard of the Holocaust.
The only solution right now is for the governments to decide that all the Jews are a protected minority. That means that the governments will be obliged to provide the security.
Upgrades to security. Jewish community shouldn't have to be paying for it.
We have to pay for our own armed guards? Are you serious?
To fund institutions, culture, and that everybody in Europe will learn about the Jewish contribution and why they should cherish Jewish presence.
All your synagogues, all your shuls, all paid for. Everything. Everything that you need is paid for. I, for one, as a Jewish leader, will no longer talk about anti-Semitism in isolation from Israel. What we want immediately, if you ask any Jew, what do you want? What do you want? No more protests. No more protests.
I'm not an anti-Semite. I just don't like the government of Bibi Netanyahu. No, you're a Jew hater.
Would a group be banned if it accuses Israel of genocide or apartheid?
If those criteria are satisfied, then that is the case.
Any candidate
running for a seat in this building, whether for Congress or Senate, we will target them as they target us. Accordingly, we will start a fund to help their opponents.
Beginning already in Q1, hedge funds get set up in Israel, so we become another capital of finance. I'll argue we will beat London within a short decade as a second capital of finance. It's going to be New York as a gateway to America, Hong Kong a gateway to China, Dubai a gateway to the Southeast Asia, and Israel as a gateway to other parts of the world.
So we heard earlier about a goal to bring a million immigrants to Israel.
History has proven that when a country starts with allowing anti-Semitism, the results are not kind to that country.
I want to make a warning to somebody else, and that's American Gentiles. The minute your country is taken over by anti-Semitism, the minute you start to be a country that's not blessing Israel but cursing Israel, you have begun the process of shrinking and away from your empire.
And you can decide. You can stay here in New York in a declining empire, or you can come to Israel, which is part of the rising middle of the world, which is moving south and east. That's what I encourage you to do.
Our faith in the American project itself has been shaken. The only serious answer to this challenge is to believe again that being Jewish is the most important thing in the world.
When we're kicked out of America and America, you know, the whole thing is done, the whole American Jewish project is done, we're gonna be fine.
For decades, American society allowed Jews to live normal lives. This was a pleasant holiday from our destiny. The holiday is over.
The Western culture that stands against the Jews is going down. The West will survive only if it decides to love itself and if it decides to love us, the Jewish people.
The Jewish people are not normal. We never really were.
And now that Israel has turned the entire geopolitical situation on its head, our job in the diaspora is to leverage those wins and win here. Do to our enemies here what Israel did to its enemies there.
And to the world, I say this. History will not remember those who merely denounced hatred in polite language. History will remember those who acted.
This is a small bunch of wannabe Nazis. That's what they are.
Anti-Semitism is pure evil.
If we have to hunt you down the way they hunted down Nazis for decades, we will find your identities. We will find you. We will achieve justice.
I think we're at the cusp of a new age. Because I think that we will achieve the expansion of peace. I think that we are in a new age because I think that the possibilities of technology, with their risks, especially in AI, but with their positive benefits, are enormous in every field. I mean, from agriculture to health to transportation to... And I think that we...
Your arm been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today.
A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh, shit, like... These things just happen. Like, this is our new normal. F*** that, dude. I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs.
Sorry, I ate a Shilajit gummy. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over. You caught me. Shilajit gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Shilajit gummies. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get their arms chopped off with swords when trying to go to the beach in California? Shilajit gummies are for you. Consumers of Shilajit gummies, they know places to avoid. If you want to avoid having your arm nearly cut off by a sword in Venice Beach, California, you need to be taking Shilajit gummies today. I do love these things. They are really delicious, but they really do give you a kick. And you only get to take one. That is the worst part of Shilajit gummies, is you want to take multiple, but you're only supposed to take one. You can take more if you want. Also, I love the Modern World Survival Stack. A massive discount if you get three products together. It's the Shilajit capsules, the Atomic Defense, and the CMOS capsules, which are packed with vitamins, minerals to support overall wellness, thyroid health, and immune function. The Atomic Defense is for daily defense and cellular support, while Shilajit capsules support natural energy, stamina, and daily vitality. Get one or all of them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Share the links at alexjoneslive.com and on Rumble at thealexjonesshowlive.com. Shilajit gummies.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.